The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. Today is Sunday, so it's time for the Linus for a show entitled Lex Larry at Television Centre. So let's get going. Let's timestamp the show. It is 10:01 a.m. here in London in the UK this Sunday, November the 24th, 2024. And for you live listeners out there on radiosoapbox.com, welcome. Today's show image is of the 1972 John Cale album, The Academy in Peril, and the show title, Lex Larry at Television Centre, is the name of one of the tracks on the album, and here is a clip of it from YouTube, the link to which will be available in the post for this show at achshow.com. Here we go, folks.
Okay, we're rolling. Cue grams. Close up on camera one. Hold it. That's nice. Back a bit, camera two, cut to two. Lovely, hold that. Right, pan in on Ronnie then, come on to Ronnie. Watch the cello, love, watch the cello, mind your boom. Blimey, silly bugger. Okay, lovely. A little more rain. Silly cow, smudged his makeup now. Hold that, pan back, pan across, pan back. Mind your boom, John, mind your boom. Oh, a bit more echo there. Lovely. Hold that. Okay, pan back. Sweep across now, sweep for all you're worth, love. Twizzle round. Lovely. Oh, the silly cuckoo spilt brandy on his trouser suit now. Oh, look. Roll down, close shot. Get his leg in, that's right. Cut to the cello. Lovely, hold it, that's very nice. Rain coming. Vera, keep the rain coming. Pan across, pan back, hold it. Now go in for the kill. Oh, he does look nice in this light. Yes, it's worked out very well, very well. Whole thing's bloody boner if you ask me. Oh, the silly poor. Right, roll the captions. Where is he?
And the voice of the television director you just heard was one Lex Larry Smith, who is best known as the drummer of the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. He is still with us at the age of 80. He's married with twin daughters, and I imagine you will spend the rest of today re-listening to the YouTube of Lex Larry at Television Centre, which I will be including in the post for this show. That's the full track, not just the excerpt that I just played. Okay. Something I just thought about before the show is show titles on American television series. Now, my favourite show is The X-Files, and I've got these little books on it, which are little episode guides, and it gives you, does them all in order, and gives you a little synopsis. So when I start watching The X-Files again for the umpteenth time, I kind of look at that, and because I know the episodes anyway, it's not going to be a spoiler for me, and I just see the first, sometimes just the title reminds me, or the introduction, oh, I remember that one, I don't fancy watching that, so I'll skip that, or what have you. Whenever you watch an episode, all the stuff I've ever seen, so there's titles for, you know, for example, the X-Files Darkness Falls is a title of one of the episodes in the first series, and then you've got the Sopranos, they have titles, but you never see them in the episode, in the opening segment. It doesn't show you the title. So it's just something that I've always wondered, that they never put the, you wouldn't know what the episode title was by watching an episode of the American television that I've seen. So I don't know where the title comes from and why it's not put in the opening credits of the episode. It's very, very odd to me. But that was just something that came into my mind that I thought that maybe you would be interested in thinking about yourself. And maybe some people in America may get in touch and explain why that is the case. Next, I just want to draw your attention to today's traditional Christian message entitled The Parables of Jesus 5, The Father and Two Sons, which is a 5-minute message that is now available on achshow.com. Okay, so let's have a look at today's top story, in the UK at least. Here is today's front page headline from the Daily Star Sunday. The geeks shall inherit the earth. And this is because, according to the article, British children today are more interested in gaming and fantasy role-playing than football. So make of that what you will. And whilst in the UK more and more people are frightened of expressing their opinions in real life or online in case they end up in jail, let's look at what's been going on in the UK legal system in the past week, and in particular some of the people who avoided jail recently, presumably because they presented a lesser risk to the public than those expressing opinions that the authorities do not like. First up, Glasgow Live. Glasgow Willy Wonka experience organiser exposed as sex pest and avoids jail. Next, Press and Journal. Elgin woman avoids jail after second drink driving charge in 2 months. Malden and Burnham Standard. Van driver who caused fatal Malden crash that killed devoted mum avoids jail. Kidderminster Shuttle. Lawrence Machin. Bewdley paedophile avoids jail over indecent images. It's, all these things are sexual related, aren't they? And we know the sexual depravities that have been widely reported amongst the elites for decades. It certainly looks like they're moving things where, well, it's just got a certain flavour. We know about the paedophilia side of things and the rebranding of that as minor attractive persons. You don't work on rebranding something unless you're trying to make it more acceptable to the public. Warrington Guardian. Offender who spat in policeman's face at hospital is spared jail. And being spat in the face is a pretty traumatic experience. Indeed, during my time as a police officer, I had to deal with a shoplifter who spat in the face of one of the store staff members, who told me he would have much preferred to have been hit in the face than to have been spat in the face. So, you know, being spat in the face isn't going to physically hurt you, whereas being punched might do, it might even break a jaw or something like that. But he would have actually preferred that to being spat, because being spat at is, you know, very disgusting and things like that. So that's just, I wanted to throw that in to, you know, we have a tendency to kind of look at, well, what's the more painful? But actually something like that can be regarded as pretty awful. Belfast Live. Former Royal Victoria Hospital nurse spared jail over sex assaults on patients. Sex again. Kent Online. Former head teacher from Bearstead avoids jail after pleading guilty to, guess what? Sexual assault. And finally, International Business Times. Britain, are you okay? Question mark. 26-year-old with over 1,000 videos of toddlers getting raped avoids jail. Well, We saw these grooming gangs coming over, and we saw all the authorities trying their best to cover up what they were doing. And we're told, well, you know, it's because they didn't want to incite, cause any problems between different communities and stuff like that. What if it was more than that? What if this was an absolute cover-up because this is what these people were brought in to do? What if they knew that before they brought them in? We don't know. They've already lied to us, to try and cover it all up. So it's pretty obvious when you look at the world today that there is an all-out assault on the indigenous peoples of the West and of those countries. There's never not enough diversity in Japan or Nigeria or anything like that. It's always in what are historically white countries. And it's done for a variety of means. And I believe that it is done because the people that are doing it are evil, and they regard the people who they are targeting, the white people, as their sworn enemy. And that's because of various beliefs that it is getting increasingly difficult for me to go into here due to my democratic right to free speech. It's increasingly difficult to actually speak the words of Jesus Christ and point out what he said and about whom, because of my democratic right to free speech. So if you're in a country where you can't even quote Jesus Christ or other passages from the Bible, law passages of the Bible, you're in pretty bad shape, I would say. And that's where we are in the UK. And that's where, in my opinion, the likes of Trump are going to take you in the USA, regardless of what he said. It'd be interesting if you would, someone would put together all the things that he promised when he was coming into the presidency for the first time, and let me know what he actually did that he promised. I don't think it was very much. And people say, oh, well, he was blocked by this judge or that judge or what have you. Well, it's my understanding this time, I've been hearing all these things, oh, well, he's a president, he can do what he likes. Well, that hasn't changed since last time, has it? So why didn't he do that last time? So I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that Trump is the saviour a lot of people want him to be. I would much rather people live in a free and happy society than in the one like we have in the UK, where you have to worry about things that you say potentially putting you in jail. But not if you sexually assault someone. That's that apparently doesn't seem to carry a jail sentence at the moment. Or, you know, if you like having pictures of little kids, or even taking that further, that doesn't seem to warrant a jail sentence. But quoting from the Bible, quoting the words of Jesus Christ, that might just land you in jail in this country. And then you ask yourself, who do you think rules this country? Next, Daily Mail. BBC's, this is a headline. BBC's truth-checking unit under fire for quietly deleting statement after saying government was right about number of farmers to be hit by inheritance tax raid. And get this section of the article entitled Fact Checker Lied on CV. Here we go, folks. The BBC's disinformation correspondent has been accused of misleading would-be employers by lying on her CV. Mariana Spring, 28, who joined the BBC's Verify team 18 months ago, allegedly lied about past work experience on a job application in 2018. The New European reported that Ms. Spring applied for a role with US media company Coda Story and claimed to have worked with BBC foreign correspondent Sarah Rainsford at that summer's FIFA World Cup in Russia. Coda Stories editor-in-chief Natalia Antaleva fact-checked the claim and found it was a fabrication. The aspiring journalist had only met Ms. Rainsford on a handful of social occasions. The BBC last night declined to comment. Okay, so let's have our weekly look at the BBC Verify website and see if the BBC have verified whether or not a member of their team, Mariana Spring, lied on her CV, as the Daily Mail reported in their November 20th, 2024 article I just referred to, entitled BBC's Truth-Checking Unit Under Fire for Quietly Deleting Statement After Saying Government Was Right About Number of Farmers to Be Hit by Inheritance Parliament's tax raid. So we're going to go over there now, just opening up the right windows. And we can also see if they've verified why they told us that World Trade Center 7 had come down while it was still stood up behind the newscaster that gave us that information. That's something that we've asked a couple of times on this show that we know is monitored by the powers that should not be, but for some reason the answer has not been forthcoming. So here we go, bbc.co.uk/news/reality_check. So we scroll down to the middle section where we have the latest updates. And what's the date? It's the 24th. So we've got to go back to about the 17th, haven't we? That was when we last did this on the Limeys. And last time there was only... Yeah, there was only three headlines. Well, that was from the 13th of November, the 14th and the 15th. Well, this time there's only two. 20th of November. Ukraine front could collapse as Russia gains accelerate, expert warns. Hopefully BBC verifies collapsing. And then on the 22nd of November, farming tax row. BBC verify on which figures are more reliable and why. So it sounds like they've kind of jumped in as this Daily Mail article is, was, I think I just said it was the 20th, wasn't it? That was, yeah, November 20th. So that is after that. Let's have a quick scan, see if there's anything about no, it just goes on about contested figures. Essentially, when the government announced that these farmers were going to have to pay inheritance tax if they if their farm was worth above £1 million, at the moment the families inherit it free of tax. They said it would only affect a handful of farmers, but it turns out it's a lot more than that. Well, I think it probably is a lot more than that, because property in the UK, apartments are going for, you know, getting on for that figure in certain parts of the country. So when you've got a farm and you've got all that land, and especially today, land has become more of a premium. When you keep pumping the country full of immigrants that you don't have any property for them to move into, so you have to take over hotels. I reckon farmers' land might be extremely attractive to the people who bring these people over, that they can build properties on for them to live in. And, you know, achieve the aims that we're told, oh, it's just, you know, white replacement, that's hate speech, that's a conspiracy. Well, what exactly is it then that keeps happening? Why is it so important to bring all these people over? It's amazing, isn't it? It's, and any, if you were to say, I could say a way that this could be stopped, but again, I could go to prison. You know, it's amazing. This is an all-out onslaught. This is, in my opinion, what we read about in the Book of Revelation, where the believers are targeted by Satan. Satan thinks that he's strong enough now, and he is going to come after the actual covenant people of the Bible, the real Israelites of the Bible, the Adamic race of the Bible. And you can work out who that is just by seeing who's being targeted wherever they are in the world. So it's not just people in Europe or America. You can go all the way over to Australia, New Zealand, the other side of the planet. For some reason, it's all these areas that are targeted, but it's just conspiracy theory to even talk about it, isn't it? It's amazing. Okay, let's move on to, well, the delights of being me in the last week. Now, when I was recording the Tuesday show with Dr. Peter Hammond, just a reminder, that won't be on this Tuesday. I'll next be back with you on Saturday. Peter is on one of his tours, and I will be taking Amanda to see my mother. I got an email, and apparently there was an outbreak of norovirus in the home in which my mum lives, and the people affected were being isolated in their rooms. And a few minutes later, I got another email with Christine in the title, so I thought, oh, she's one of them. And of course, it could have been an email saying, actually, she's not affected, but I just had that feeling, and she was, and she'd been isolated in her room. And I've had the norovirus before. It's not nice. I had it on a cruise ship. I might have mentioned it here recently. I vaguely recall talking about it. But essentially, it's very prevalent on cruise ships, because it's very, very contagious. So when people will serve themselves from the buffet, you're picking it up off the handles and all that sort of stuff. You have to just essentially let it get out your system. But while you're letting it get out your system, I was confined to my cabin for 24 hours, and you could only have certain bits of food. You couldn't have anything dairy, any sort of sauces, anything like that. So I could have a chicken breast, but that was it. I'd have to season it with salt and pepper. Same with a baked potato. You think, oh, baked potato, that sounds nice with, butter and cheese. Forget that. Can't have any butter, can't have any cheese, no dairy. So I'd just have a baked potato with, salt and pepper. Got through the day. So it doesn't necessarily hang around people for very long. But, when I had it, I was a fit, younger guy, probably about 10 years ago, I would have thought. And I was going to the gym regularly and stuff like that and got it out of my system pretty quickly. But my mum's 80. And after I got that information, and I generally go and visit her on the Wednesday, I got this news obviously on the Tuesday, as I said, when the show with Peter was being recorded. I said, because they asked people, if you really want to come, we can't stop you, but if you don't mind staying away. And, this is sort of a little bit different than the COVID thing for me. This is a sort of event that can happen. I just, I think it's important just if it's something that goes on and on and on. But basically, I emailed, I said, okay, look, I won't come this week, but can you let me know? Because I'm supposed to be going next week with Amanda. And anyway, that night, Tuesday night. I know the time because I saw it on the clock. It was 3:15 a.m. My alarm starts going off. And I've got a clock radio either side of my bed. The same model, a Sony one, basically, because in the past you sort of lying on one side and you want to see what time it is, and if you're on the side that the clock's not on, you've got to roll over and that partially wakes you up and you might wake up with that. So that's why I did that a few years ago. Clock radio is a pretty cheap thing, so just buy a couple instead of one and you'll be okay there. And I thought, what's going on? I haven't set either of these alarms. So I had to sort of get up to... I went over to one of them, and then I thought, no, the sound's coming from the other one. Then I went over to the other one. Oh, the sound's coming from the other one. And it turned out it was coming from somewhere in the middle. And you may remember I said that when I had my shelving unit put up, I was going to buy some things to put in the middle section, something decorative. And then I thought, all that money that you wasted buying things that you used to use as a child and think you'd be interested in them, and you basically got them out the box that they came in from eBay and maybe looked at them once and then put them away. Just put those up because you made your bed, you lie in it. These were the things that you bought. Use them to put on the shelves too. As items of decoration. And some of you may be aware, the old Donkey Kong game, that was a little flip game, watch and game, something like that, I think it was called. Well, it turns out that is what was going off. Now, I haven't touched that in like 5 or 6 years, okay? I think the last time I touched it was to take it out of the drawer and put it on the shelf. That's pretty much it. But I remember trying to play it and I think I got ripped off. It's not working properly. So whilst many of you will think I will now go down the gang stalking route, which is possible because I did go out on Tuesday lunchtime to meet Amanda. So someone could have come in then and set the alarm on that, but I don't even know how to set the alarm on that, and the thing doesn't even seem to work properly. I couldn't get it to stop, and this is how I know it wasn't a dream, because I basically took the thing and put it back in a drawer in the lounge while it was... and then the following day, I got it out to look at it, and I was trying to get the thing to work and the game to work, and it just... You get, like, the display going for a bit, and then it's just so... The whole thing, I couldn't understand, but at the time... With what was going on with my mum and being a bit groggy and what have you, being woken up, I was wondering if this is some, something that she'd suddenly passed away. And this was, these weird things can happen, can't they, when people pass away. And, oh, well, this happened to me. And I found out that same time my mother had passed away or something like that. But, of course, the following day I woke up and I did actually get in touch with the home by email, just said, look, I've had a something strange happened. Can you mind letting me know? And it turned out that she'd already been getting better and had not been sick or the other thing. And now she has completely recovered, which is good. So I don't know what that was, because I don't think it was someone coming in, because I don't know how they could set the thing up. I certainly didn't touch it, but I won't be putting it up on the... I mean, I could take the batteries out, obviously. That's probably something that I'll do, but they're going to find somewhere to put the batteries so I know that it's those batteries or the thing that fits that particular thing. So I don't know. We will see. But anyway, that was just something really bizarre. And there's all these sort of paranormal things they're talking about at the moment, UFOs, stuff like that. Well, you know, old Donkey Kong games alarms going off in your room. I don't know what that could be. So I go to my mum's on Wednesday, and at the same time I'm thinking, all these sort of things going on, is this some sort of, well, you know, you're not going to be able to visit her. Do you, you know, should you leave it, you know, maybe go Thursday? It's going to be really cold on Wednesday, stuff like that. I thought, no, let's just go there. So I went. And literally, folks, I've got this black puffer jacket. I get there, I put the heating on, and all day, even with the heating on, I had to keep that jacket on. I go to bed, and before I go to bed, I turn the heating off, because if you leave central heating on, I don't know if it happens to everyone, but to me, I wake up next day all blocked up and with a headache. So I thought, well, I'm under the duvet, I'll be fine, you know. So I wake up in about 2 a.m, and you move on the bed, and from the area that I was in, and moving the duvet, it was like moving and lying on a block of ice. And the duvet, if I used a bit of duvet that I wasn't already, it was like putting ice on you. It was awful. And I like just had to jump out of bed, put my coat back on again. I knew I wasn't going to get back to sleep without eating something. So I had to go downstairs 2 a.m, get something to eat, go on the internet and that while I was eating it, and then try and get into bed and get back to sleep and turn all the heating on. Which, of course, I then woke up the next day and I was completely blocked up and I had a headache most of the day. But one thing that I did do is every day as part of my regime, vitamins, as you say in America, I take my 3 Nature's Way Black Elderberry capsules. That I do every day. But what I did on that day, the Thursday, I took another 3 more times throughout the day. And it's a case of you catch it in time, or it doesn't matter how many you take. If the cold and what have you has already taken effect, then no amount of black elderberry is going to stop it. You've got to catch it in time. I didn't know if I had or I hadn't. It wasn't a very nice day. And then I woke up on Friday and I was clear. So I had caught it in time. So I can still recommend Nature's Way Black Elderberry as something to use if you start to feel the symptoms of a cold or a cough or a sore throat coming on. Start taking those, and that's certainly worked for me. Okay, so as of December the 1st, 2022, we have a total of 2,362 people having died after taking the fake vaccine and 474,018 people having been injured after taking the fake vaccine. These figures were published on the British government's website page entitled Coronavirus COVID-19 Vaccine Adverse Reactions and were aggregated from the totals of the 5 vaccine analysis prints linked to on that page. I say were because the British government are no longer publishing these. As whilst their website page still exists, the 5 vaccine analysis prints have now been deleted from it, so I have absolutely no idea of the official figures today. Okay, so now it's time for this week's Viruses and Vaccines, in which I give you a rundown of all the health-related stories I've encountered in the past week, and it shouldn't take long, so I've only got 2. First up, Daily Mail. Tattoo warning after woman faces foot amputation following gruesome ink-related infection. I think we talked about tattoos last week, didn't we? And how they've been causing health problems and appeared to have been covered up. Again, I talk about attacks on the West, and it was in the 90s that the, you know, tattoos were really pushed. Up to that point, It was a rarity you'd see someone with a tattoo. And if you did, it was generally someone with a military type background, something like that. But suddenly you're getting, you know, I can tell you where I live and I look at people, I'm in the minority as not having tattoos. And the other article I got for you is Daily Mail again. Now yet another deadly disease is surging in young people, warn experts, amid explosion in early onset cancers. And this deadly disease is strokes, folks. I didn't realise strokes were known as a disease. I thought that was like an event. And, well, I have to wonder what could have possibly caused that. Next. The 1990 Sydney Lumet film, Q&A, which I must have watched a lot when I last owned it, over 30 years ago, as I remembered many of the lines when I watched it for the first time since then last week. The film is wonderfully acted by all concerned, in particular Armand Desante and Timothy Hutton, but the standout performance was undoubtedly Nick Nolte as a corrupt cop who put on £40 for the role and, for me, comes across as more menacing than the Robert De Niro character he played opposite a year later in Cape Fear. What is so odd about this film is whilst its ultimate message is a politically correct one, I don't believe I have ever seen a film with as much politically incorrect language in it in my life, which for me is probably what got it the 18 certificate in the UK. Okay, so we're halfway through the show. It's 10:31 a.m. here in the UK. And now it's time for some of this week's Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall, which, as the Daily Mail is the most visited news website in the world, gives us an insight into what they, whoever they are, want us to be thinking and talking about. First up, fake asylum seekers are conning their way into Britain by telling the Home Office they are from war-torn Eritrea and then bragging about it to thousands of followers on TikTok. Next, record numbers of asylum seekers have been allowed to stay in Britain after claiming they are gay, official figures reveal. Next, Congolese man who sexually attacked his relatives is allowed to stay in the UK because deporting him would breach his right to a family life. I'm sure his family are delighted that he'll be staying with them. Next, oh so green Ed Miliband racks up stunning 23,000 air miles since election, which was what, 3-4 months ago, all on trips relating to stopping global warming. Next, call that net zero, Sakia. Britain has an astonishing 470 delegates at Climate Change Summit. That's a 5,000-mile round-trip flight. Okay. Next, Glastonbury fans blast annual disappointment as all 200,000 tickets sell out in 30 minutes as new queue system is savaged by punters. And as many Christians believe Jesus Christ spent some time at Glastonbury in his youth, it should come as no surprise that a festival known for sex, drugs and rock and roll was placed there over 50 years ago. And I've actually been there once. It's called Glastonbury Tor. You go up this hill and there's this old ruins of like some sort of building, maybe a church, something like that. It did feel very... I was pleased to be there. Essentially, what they say is Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus Christ's uncle, had tin mines over on the British Isles, and he was over in that area, and the young Jesus Christ travelled with him and stuff like that. That is what is claimed by some people. But whether it's true or not, as I say, it doesn't matter to the powers that should not be. If they have an inkling, and they think, well, you know, how can we, if that's supposed to be a sacred site, how do we corrupt it? You know? I mean, I'd be interested to know who was, who else is buried in Highgate Cemetery, because that's where they buried Karl Marx. So I wouldn't be surprised that there were some figures in there that, you know, may have done some good, and that was their idea of committing sacrilege against it. I'd have to look that one up. That is just speculation on my part. Next, trans men and lesbians would get IVF priority 2 years ahead of heterosexual couples under NHS plan as campaigners slam proposals as grossly discriminatory. Next, police logged hate incident when pub staff threw trans customer out for having sex in the toilet, as research shows doctors, vicars and social workers have been investigated for just doing their jobs. Top feminist writer is visited by police at her London home after transgender man from Holland reported one of her social media posts. And this was back in 2019, folks, long before Labour came to power. So don't believe any of these so-called anti-woke policies being promoted by the Conservatives now that they are the opposition party. The opposition party, I remember thinking to myself years ago, you know, when I was sort of in the 80s, 90s, and watching scenes in the House of Commons, stuff like that, and I was like, why do they always shout each other down on everything? There must be some things that they agree on. And I remember one time, a Labour, because of course this was while, you know, Thatcher was in power pretty much all my youth. I mean, or certainly the Conservatives, because she came to power in 79 when I was only six. You know, I didn't follow politics when I was six, I'm afraid. And she lost power in 1990 when I was 17. And then John Major took over and then he won the subsequent election. And so he stayed in power till 1997 when Tony Blair took over, who was the first Labour Prime Minister since I was 6 years old. And in 97, I was, what, 24? So 18 years of my life growing up, I had under Conservative government. And I remember one time, someone being interviewed, I can't remember who it was, but is there nothing you agree on? They said, well, we're the opposition. It's our job to oppose the government. So even if there were things that you agreed with them on, the attitude was back then to just be opposed to everything. And that's exactly what we're going to see now. So when the Conservatives come out with all these arguments that people will see as populist now, you might say, well, you're only in government like, four months ago, why weren't you doing it? What you promote now? Why weren't you doing it then? Well, because they're the ruling party then, and then they have to follow the people who are really in charge, the powers that should not be. In the same way that Keir Starmer got to power, promising things that he went against in his recent budget, and there's no comeback. I mean, if you bought a car from somebody in the seller said it did this and this, the garage, and it didn't, you could sue them for breach of contract. But you can elect someone to Parliament on what they promised to do, they do the opposite and they get away with it. But that's why the whoever's in government is just going to adopt the principles of the people who really run the country. And then whoever goes in opposition is going to be promoting ideas that will be popular with most of the people in the country. That's how the system works. It's all a great big scam, and more on that later. Next, Daily Mail comment. Free speech includes the right to offend. Well, I would agree. Next, Nazi grandma, who went on the run to avoid jail in 2018 for Holocaust denial, dies aged 96. German pensioner claimed Auschwitz was only a labour camp. Now, this is obviously a story about Ursula Haverbeck, so she made it into the Daily Mail. And here is a comment on the article from Nigel in the UK. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, no matter how offensive others may find it. In no circumstances should anyone be sent to prison for merely stating an opinion. An example of thought police reminiscent of the Nazis themselves. Well, that's his full comment. And as I said on the show with Peter earlier in the week, there should be absolutely no laws against any sort of hate speech. All these Public Order Acts, Section 4, 5, all this sort of stuff, that needs to be done away with. Anything that restricts your freedom of speech should be done away with. There can only be some sort of law where someone, you know, we talked about this before, shouts fire in a crowded theatre. What I mean, someone does something, says something, because they know that And they are motivated by, for example, causing a stampede that will cause harm to people. But that's going to have to be so closely, so tightly regulated, because, of course, these people who don't like people talking about them will be like, oh, well, somebody said something and this happened to me and that happened to me, and so we can get them under that law. And, of course, that's not what the law is for. But they will bend any law that they can to try and use it against people that are critical of them or their behaviour. Next, police force records 1,500 non-crime hate incidents in just 2 years, but fails to answer non-emergency calls. So non-crime hate is more than, I don't know, what would be a non-emergency call? Say that you've got back to your house and you've been burgled. Was it last week we covered bicycles? Police were too busy to investigate bicycle theft, so people were doing it themselves. But they're not too busy to record 1,500 non-crime hate incidents in just 2 years. Welsh Government vows to change beliefs and behaviour of white majority. Got to get that white majority, folks, in anti-racism action plan. And I did read this article as I wanted to give you some examples of what the Welsh Government planned to do, but all I discovered was a load of left-wing idealistic gibberish and no actual proposed policies they were looking to implement. Next, Berlin is not safe for openly gay or Jewish people. Local police chief admits, and here is a quote from the article. Barbara Slowick, head of the police force in the German capital, said, "There are areas, and we need to be honest here, where I would advise people who wear a kippa or are openly gay or lesbian to be more careful. Unfortunately, there are certain neighbourhoods where the majority of people live are of Arab descent," so that's unfortunate, is it, "who also have sympathies for terrorist groups," she told local outlet Berliner Zeitung. She added that open anti-Semitism was shown against people of Jewish faith and origin in those neighbourhoods. And, of course, there is absolutely no mention of Barbara Lerner Spector in this article. Next, church in Switzerland is using an AI-powered Jesus hologram to take confession. Next, this is his first class hour. Royal Mail issues stamps to mark 150th anniversary of Winston Churchill's birth. Now, each stamp contains a memorable quote from Churchill, but sadly none of the ones I remember. For example, his "History will be kind to me, for I intend to write it," is missing, as are any quotes from his 1920 Illustrated Sunday Herald article entitled "Zionism versus Bolshevism." And many people today believe that that is still going on. Next, here in the UK, we have just experienced some fallout from the Trump election. Headline: Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi moving to England after Trump win as they become latest stars to flee US. Then we've got this: middle-class rioters with well-paid jobs and comfortable lives lost everything after getting swept up in summer of violence, policing chief claims. And here is an interesting extract from the article. "Police have told me of people who had really good jobs, really settled lifestyles, middle class, and have lost everything because they basically got drawn into it," he said. "I think that restorative justice work will be really important in a preventative sense, because we need to make sure these things don't happen again. And that's not going to happen if we don't understand from the people who did it why it happened in the first place." He said he would be going into prisons to understand why some people hold prejudice views and how to educate them to make them not have those anymore. Wow, how wonderfully democratic. Next, panic stations for Labour as polls suggest support slumping to post-election low of just 25% amid budget farm tax backlash, as 70% of Brits say UK is worse under Starmer. Now, this means nothing, folks. As we know, if you protest against government policy, you risk being sent to jail for several years. So do you honestly think that a government whose term in office doesn't run out until the summer of 2029 really cares what the polls say? Next, mysterious orb spotted over New York City, days after the Pentagon revealed a near miss between plane and UFO. So the mainstream media continue to push the UFO narrative that they have been ridiculing throughout most of my life. So why did the narrative change? And Richie from Boston, if you go to his BitChute channel, he put out a video recently which he talked about Project Bluebeam, which is something that the conspiracy world has been talking about for decades, where they believe the government, especially the US government, are going to put up holograms and different, you know, high-tech visualizations. You know, they can do all sorts of things these days, can't they? You just look at this, what AI can do and what have you, and pretend that we're being invaded by aliens for whatever nefarious reasons it would benefit them to do so. So that's the most recent Richie from Boston video. Next, surging shops and offices converted to homes as landlord tap into sky-high property demand. Now, I was warned about purchasing an office conversion, as offices do not have the same amount of noise insulation as purpose-built homes. But there is no mention of that in the article, so maybe what I was told was wrong. Next, Jaguar boss hits out at vile hatred and intolerance after car fans turned on firm's widely ridiculed woke rebrand. And then we've got this. One in five people think the World Wide Web was invented by Bill Gates. So, how stupid. I thought everyone knew it was Al Gore. Next, food critic Jay Rayner claims there are anti-Semites working at The Guardian after quitting publication. Transgender police officers can strip search women under new guidance from the British Transport Police. And finally, Keir Starmer declares war on Benefits Britain. Prime Minister vows to crack down on £137 billion welfare blight, which is from today's Mail on Sunday. It was the second top story down a couple of hours ago when I inserted it into the script. And here is a quote from the article. The Prime Minister uses an article in today's Mail on Sunday to promise sweeping changes to try to tame the £137 billion bill for welfare benefits, including a blitz on cheats and those who game the system, vowing no more business as usual. To which I thought, hang on, the Daily Mail is conservative and they have a Labour Prime Minister writing articles for them? I thought, this can't be right. They must be quoting him from elsewhere. Until further down the article, get this. Sir Keir says that the reforms announced this week will pave the way for the biggest overhaul of employment support in memory. He writes, in the coming months, Mail on Sunday readers will see even more sweeping changes, because make no mistake, we will get to grips with the bulging benefits bill blighting our society. So, as I have long alluded to, there is no left and right in politics. There is just an agenda by the string pullers that must be followed by the party that is in power. And then the main other party just has to keep complaining about what they do to justify them as being opposition. But as soon as they become in power, as I said earlier, they will do what the string pullers tell them to do, and the party that were in power will start echoing populist sentiments to pretend that they actually oppose the government. And I'll tell you why I would never vote Labour, and that is because, well, an example before I do that, when Labour came to power, now Labour always this, oh, well, you know, the Tories, they're slave drivers, they're horrible people, they don't protect the employee and all this sort of stuff. One of the things that Tony Blair did very quickly after he got in was there was some employers were going to him and presumably they were a bit annoyed with the amount of people they had signed off sick that they had to pay while they were off sick. And so he changed the sickness certificates you get from your doctor and literally implemented policies where it made it kind of encourage the doctor not to sign someone off sick unless they really had to. Like, you know, if you don't sign this person off sick and then they're so ill they might, you know, come to harm, then you could get sued. If it's not that, then don't sign them off. But it happens under a Labour government that always talks about protecting the little guy, you know, but they do that. And that's something they did early on. And the other thing that the Labour government did was they banned smoking in public places. And I was out that very night. And on that night, they let you smoke because effectively the ban came in at midnight, but I was in a club that didn't close till 3-4 in the morning, and they still let people smoke in there. But that was the last time I've ever been able to smoke in a pub, or, well, I don't really go to pubs or clubs anymore. But I would never vote Labour ever again because of them doing that. Because you see, all this stuff they talk about, economy and all this sort of stuff, what you've got to remember is if something particularly affected you, and there's absolutely no reason why, you know, if I'm eating somewhere, I wouldn't eat in a smoking section. I'd go non-smoking because I don't smoke when I'm having food, or, you know, I wouldn't want that around me. But you've had smoking and non-smoking sections in places for years. Even on planes, you had smoking and non-smoking sections. So if they can do it on a plane, why can't they do it in pubs and places like that? Because, in my opinion, a lot of people, for example, don't smoke at home, in their home, because it makes the home smell. And even a smoker, I've smoked in my home before, many, many years ago, over a decade. And I wouldn't do it anymore because it makes the place smell. So when you wake up in the morning, oh, it smells horrible. So you go outside. So a lot of people have that. And that's why they would go to a pub. You know, you just go to a pub and you can smoke there. So you can get together with your friends and smoke and what have you. But I believe that the main reason, because it wasn't just, again, this just goes to show that politics is not just local. I was listening to the Talking Sopranos, one of their episodes recently, and they were talking about just a scene and someone smoking in a restaurant. Oh, you can't do that anymore. Can't do that in bars anymore. Well, that's over in America. So there was obviously some grand plan that they said, right, we've got to start cracking down on smoking. We'll hit it in public places first, and then we'll, you know, just make it worse and worse. There's a couple of schools of thought here. There's people that say about nicotine actually being good for you. Well, I cough a fair bit, so I would say anything. I'm not saying that nicotine causes that, but all the other things in the cigarettes, I would say you would be healthier not smoking rather than smoking, and that's coming from a smoker. The other thing that I think is more likely is what Paul English talked about when they, after the end of the Second World War, they started closing down all the folk clubs, because these people come back from the Second World War and they had very good ideas of how they could, you know, get the UK or England or what have you running for the benefit of the people. And so their idea was, well, we can't have them doing that. They're a threat. So let's close down these folk clubs. Well, you look at all the policies that they've been rolling out since 2007, when the ban came in the UK, and they've been very anti-freedom. They've been more and more restricting people's free speech, things like that. And they don't want people getting together in pubs to talk about that. So if they can stop the smoking aspect, which is why a lot of people go there, why would you want to go to a pub, pay, literally, you could be paying 5-10 times what you pay for beer in the supermarket, and have to stand outside to have a cigarette? Why would you want to do that? And that has had a real knock-on effect on the pub. So that's why that they did it, in my opinion. And the reason I wouldn't vote Conservative is because they banned plastic straws. And that had an effect on my life as well. I whenever I go to a place now to eat, and they give you a straw, it's a cardboard straw. Now, I've only had a couple of McDonald's milkshakes since that. But I've had to go back about 3 times for an extra straw, because these cardboard straws, they just aren't up to the job. But it's embarrassing to have to keep asking. And with all the crap going on in the world, all you can do is plastic straws. Well, the other thing it affected is cotton buds or Q-tips that you use to clean your ears. It's now cardboard stem, not a plastic stem. It's not it's not as sturdy. It's not as reliable. And you can bet your bottom dollar, there are people amongst this group that controls the planet that they're little psychologists, and what can we do that's really going to really get up people's nose, but without them really realising it? And out of all these different things on the table, this is the one they chose to roll out. So that's, it has to be as basic as that. And you have to look at it. You say, well, that's a bit silly, isn't it? You wouldn't vote for this party because they banned plastic straws, and you wouldn't vote for that party because they banned smoking, even if they promised to do all these other things. Well, no. Because these things directly impacted upon my life, never mind all the other things that they do. If they're prepared to come after stuff like that, what are they going to take next? And there was a darts player in the UK. He was very famous. He was called Eric Bristow. He passed away. And he used to, because they go on these tours together, you know, and they go to the different tournaments around the country and sometimes around the world. And, you know, sometimes they, you know, they'll bunk together, you know, because obviously if you share a hotel room, it's going to be cheaper than going single every time. And he had a guy that he was rooming with who decided to quit the PDC, which was the darts tournament that Eric Bristow and him were on, and go to the BDO, the British Darts Organisation, but he never told Eric Bristow. And then he just did it. And Eric Bristow's been interviewed about it, and he said, and that's why I don't speak to him no more. So even though you imagine that if you're rooming with someone, you obviously have to get on with them. You'd probably be able to have a joke with them, a laugh with them. You certainly have to be able to be tolerant of them. Otherwise, you wouldn't want them, you know, sharing your room, probably going out to lunch together, all that sort of stuff. But because this guy did that, he wouldn't speak to him again. So even though they were probably friends, that was his limit. He was like, well, he's going to miss certain things about him, obviously. But because he treated me like that, because he wouldn't tell me about that, I won't have anything to do with him. And coming from a Christian, you know, I believe in forgiveness, but I also believe that you have to be strategic in what you do, in the sense of not letting someone use your good nature to get away with things with you. That's my opinion. So that is something that I just wanted to bring up there. But I wouldn't vote for any of the major parties, as, you know, I've said, a vote for the lesser of two evils is still a vote for evil. And the only situation I'm looking forward to is the one that's promised us by Jesus Christ in the Bible, which is when these people that have been tormenting us for years are finally removed once and for all. Okay, so now it's time for the topic section. I can see that we're going to run over today, probably not by too much. On last week's show, I pondered as to whether juries in trials could find defendants not guilty if they did not agree with the law under which they were prosecuted, which is a practice known as jury nullification. After seeing this headline on the BBC, police officers punch bags in epidemic of violent attacks, I pondered whether police officers will refuse to arrest people under legislation that they do not agree with, something I can answer straight away, unless the laws have since changed. Now, when I was a probationer, when you join the police in the UK, you are on probation for the first 2 years, so you've got all the powers and what have you, but that's the most dangerous time for them to get rid of you. I knew a lot of people that they got rid of in that two-year period. I got through it. I quit voluntarily when I was 4 years into the job. While I was on probation, I asked the sergeant, because there was a big backlash from the police officers on the street about these antisocial behaviour orders, which essentially what they were people that, you know, all sorts of antisocial behaviour. It could be, you know, making a nuisance of themselves on the street, being drunk, burglaries even, assault, stuff like that, that they keep going into court for, and the courts are keep letting them off, you know, or giving them a fine that they'd never pay because they had no job, no money, no house, nothing, and not locking them up. What they said, again, the Tony Blair government, we've got this new system, antisocial behaviour orders. What you have to do as police officers is you have to document all these events that one individual has been involved in that can be referred to as antisocial behaviour. And then, rather than prosecute the guy for that, you can ban him from where he's been. So, say for example, I worked in Bournemouth. Well, he's not allowed to come within a 3-mile radius of Bournemouth town centre for 6 months. And I remember a senior police officer saying, well, we need to get all that on this guy, and then he becomes Dorchester's problem. And I'm like, so you're going to be at one of your big meetings where you're going to be meeting your Dorchester counterpart, and you're quite happy to have just palmed this guy onto him. It's not solved the problem, it's just Bournemouth's problem is now Dorchester's problem, and when they get an ASPO against him, as what they were known, then he'll be probably go back to Bournemouth and he'll become Bournemouth's problem again. The problem has never gone away, it's just been moved temporarily. But that was there, whereas my attitude, I said to the sergeant, would be to encourage police officers to go on strike because they would not obey this legislation. And the sergeant said to me, he says, oh, he said, you have to be careful, you've just committed an offence there. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, it's against the law in the UK for a police officer to suggest to another police officer to strike. Now, of course, I was on probation, so I was still learning, so they weren't going to hold me up on charges for it, but he explained that law. But isn't that interesting, folks? So they've got their own little, what we see going on with the police today, not just in the UK. Made me wonder if with jury nullification, when the people find the laws against them so egregious that they just say, well, we're just going to go not guilty. So when you try and use one of them, we're just going to find the person not guilty because we don't agree with the law. Could we have a situation where here it says police officers punch bags in epidemic of violent attacks, where police officers say, look, we've had enough, you know, the people are looking at us with these riots and they're telling us that we're defending someone who killed 3 toddlers. Well, of course, they're actually there to keep the peace, to prevent people losing their minds and what have you, but eventually they have enough. And the only thing I could think of was it with the COVID lockdowns in I believe in Australia, a lot of police officers I heard were resigning. I'm not sure if that's the case, but I kind of recollect it. And it just is something that I doubt will happen. But will we ever see people in authority resigning and going against the government? We've certainly seen, I remember recently there was some sort of, coup in a country where the police suddenly crossed the line and stood with the protesters. But unfortunately, a lot of these coups tend to be the bad guys going against a regime that's not going to be as bad as what they've got in store when the coup is over. So that's unfortunately history, as they say. We have had a few good ones, I suppose, with the Ceausescu's being overthrown, things like that. But you have to look at life in Romania today, and if it was that good, why so many of them? That guy that I knew at that security company, Mario, and his dog, why are they so desperate to get out of Romania and work in the UK if it's such a great place? And that's post-Ceausescu, so they got rid of the communists, supposedly, but still they'd rather work in countries where they, you know, are amongst people who don't speak the same language because it's preferable to being in Romania. Okay, so now it's time for the news roundup of the week. Here we go, folks. First up, Daily Mail. Pink Floyd Legends Property Nightmare, although it's probably legendary for him by now. Dave Gilmour is trying to sell his £10 million mansion, but an admin error means he doesn't actually own it. And this property is on the south coast of England, and here is a quote from the article to explain what happened. Gilmour originally bought Medina House, a converted women's public baths overlooking the sea, in 2011 through his former company, Hoverco Limited, of which he was the sole director. In 2014, the firm was dissolved, but due to an oversight, ownership wasn't transferred to him. Under UK law, unless assets of a business are transferred before a company is dissolved, its assets automatically become bono vacantia, which is vacant goods, and belong to the Crown instead. So he just needed to sign that over to his name before he dissolved the company and he'd be okay. But now, it technically, It's owned by the government, and it's a £10 million property, folks. So we'll monitor to see what goes on there. Next, Daily Mail. Moment British drugs kingpin Howard Marks bamboozled US agents using phone call coded in Cockney rhyming slang. And what basically happened here is he discovered the US authorities were bugging his phone when an associate of his called him and told him his dog was sick. Well, dog, or in its complete form dog and bone, is Cockney rhyming slang for phone. So when Howard Marks was told his dog was sick, he realised his phone was bugged. And the US authorities didn't realise because they didn't understand Cockney rhyming slang. Next, Daily Mail. That's just bananas. Pure genius work of fruit duct taped to a wall sells for eye-watering $6.2 million at Sotheby's auction. And this was bought by a Chinese crypto entrepreneur named Justin Sun, a somewhat unfortunate name that, who had this to say on his purchase. In the coming days, I will personally eat the banana as part of this unique artistic experience, honouring its place in both art history and popular culture. Wow. And I hope you don't slip on the banana skin afterwards. And finally, Daily Mail. Shocking moment, marathon runner loses out on victory when race volunteer accidentally sends him in the wrong direction, allowing rival to surge ahead. On that bombshell, you have been listening to The Limeys, episode 195, Lex Lariat Television Centre. The Limeys will be back with you next Sunday. No Peter next week, so I'll be back with you all on Saturday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.